Welcome to Pacific Beer Chat, podcast number 4. Today we're going to cover topics on cellaring beer. But first we'll start out with the latest events and the newest breweries we've come upon lately. You want to start, Joe?
Sure, yeah. Hi, everybody. I enjoyed coming over to Vancouver to check out some of Vancouver Craft Beer Week. And while I was over there, I went out to Abbotsford. I drove out to Abbotsford and checked out Old Abbey Ales, which has been open for a little while already, but it was my first chance. And I was really impressed to see 12 beers on tap. Tony's been super busy out there. Tony DeWald is the brewmaster. And he's got all kinds of crazy stuff. He's doing all this. He does these things where he'll make one batch of a beer and he'll use one yeast in it and he'll split off into another tank and use a different yeast and put lacto into one and do all this other crazy stuff. It's been quite interesting. I tasted most of it, which tasted really good. And he sent me home with some beer, which was nice. And then I went out to see Raven's Brewing, which had just opened out there as well. And interesting in contrast, because they only had two beers on and they were both very basic, like a pale ale and a golden ale. They were nice. They were fine beer. But just the interesting to compare the two, you know, the two approaches to selling beer in Abbotsford, the heart of the Bible Belt. And I've heard that there's at least another brewery on the way in Abbotsford and something in Langley. And there's tons going on out there for sure. And then back here on the island, there's a new one that just opened up in Duncan. They're officially having their opening this Friday, but they are open already. It's called Red Herring, and it's from Chris Gress, who was there at Craig Street Brew Pub in Duncan. And it's the same. He's a co-owner with the owners from Craig Street. And it's a production brewery. They got a really cool spice building. It used to be a motorcycle shop, like a custom motorcycle shop. Really nice brick building with ivy on the walls and a really, really nice tasting room. So it's a really good idea. I think this summer would be an awesome road trip. Come out to the island, check out Red Arrow, go up to Courtney and Cumberland. The breweries in Courtney and Cumberland are just awesome. I visited them last month as well. So really good tour to do over a course of a few days. Highly recommended. Cheers.
Nice. How about you, Terry?
I haven't been to too much lately. I did get out to Doan's finally, and that was a lot of fun. Their rye IPA was pretty fantastic.
Yeah, it was awesome.
So that was probably their best one. I enjoyed the fact they had an old beer. I don't see enough of those, in my opinion. Theirs is quite good. And their Kolsch was kind of a good summer beer. I'm not a big Kolsch fan, but yeah, it was refreshing. And I could see there's definitely an audience for that kind of beer and good quality craft.
And it's right on point, too, that beer.
Yeah, and I grew up with her brother, so it was kind of fun to see them. I hadn't seen them for quite a while, so last time I had chatted with them, they were quite little.
Nice.
Just kind of like, well, they got beards, and they own a brewery, and time flies.
And it's neat to see, like, that's the old Powell Street space, right? And yeah. It's neat to see the difference because they've totally reorganized the front. They have a bigger tasting room. And that's cool because, if you think about it, when David opened Powell Street, they didn't have the lounge endorsement yet. Mm-hmm. It wasn't available. So, he didn't open it with a big tasting room in mind. He just, wanted to maximize his brewing space. So now we've got this brewery with a bigger tasting room and an even smaller brewing space, which is pretty crazy, but they're making it work. Yeah.
Yeah, some pretty cool artwork on the wall. I like their label, and if you go there, they're trying to collect all the BC growlers. So they'll give you some beer or something in exchange if you've got one that they don't have.
Yeah, exactly.
So feel free to give them a call ahead if you've got some interesting ones.
I should keep that in mind. I've got one they don't have.
There you go. Yeah. I hope I'm not making any promises that they won't honor, but they seem pretty excited to pick up the new ones.
BC.
Yeah. Anyway, that's kind of cool. I like it when people try and differentiate themselves, even just a little bit with cool stuff like that and embracing the brewery culture here. So that's good.
Well, I certainly have a few growlers from Unusual Breweries in BC, so I'll have to drop one off from Arrowhead, perhaps, and a couple others.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And then I've been drinking a lot of Vermont beer lately. It made its way to my doorstep. So Eddie Toppers and Second Fiddles, and I got a few bottles of Hill Farmstead. Just some good stuff that it's very hard to get. So
how did you get that?
My parents went to Vermont, and they're very, very nice and into beer. So they were both lined up at both Hill Farmstead and Alchemist when they opened.
Wow. Yeah. That is so far from my parents. That's just crazy.
My dad volunteers at a lot of the events, so you see an older version of me.
Say that's funny.
to Hal.
How about you, Steve?
Well, I actually got a beer that Mike had never had before, which is a new experience for me. I've never done that before. Okay. I stumbled across BNA Brewing up in Kelowna. They've been open a little over 2 weeks now. They're little brewery, about a 10 hectoliter capacity. They got a restaurant attached, so they basically brew enough to keep the restaurant in supply and keep a small tasting room open. And
Steve, not only did you beat Mike, you beat me. I haven't had BNA yet.
Oh man, I beat Joe. Okay, you just made my day. I don't get to do this often. I'm going to bask in this.
Yeah, exactly.
I would.
So they've got four beers on tap right now. They're planning a few more. They've got a pretty basic standard Kolsch, which they bill as their entry level. This is craft beer. Then they move on to some more fun stuff. They've got a red ale that they have not hopped, but instead they've steeped with maple branches.
maple branches.
I got it. That's one of the growlers I've got. So
that's crazy.
That's awesome.
They've got a pale ale that they infused with Earl Grey tea, which is actually really cool. And then they've got an IPA that they included blood orange juice in.
Nice. I like those.
And really tasty beer. Fun bunch of guys. And it's actually Liam from Granville Island. And he moved. He decided to start brewing up there, and they're planning a Canada Day beer with an ingredient from at least every province, hopefully every territory as well. That's all they would say. Right. I don't know what kind of beer or anything.
Throw a little Nunavut snow in there.
Nice.
But yeah, really, really tasty brewery, a fun space. It's an old tobacco factory, actually. It's where the name comes from. It's the British North America Tobacco Factory. Yeah, unfortunately, I don't think they're going to be bottling anytime soon, but if you do get the chance, they're really tasty beer. They're worth going up to see.
Just head to the Okanagan.
Cool. Yeah.
All right. For me, the only new brewery I've been to lately is actually same as Joe, Raven's Brewing Company. They're out in Abbotsford. I was just there yesterday, checking it out. Nick that's the brewmaster out there, and one thing I find funny is all three breweries in Abbotsford right now all have ex-brewers from Dead Frog.
That's a good point.
Which is kind of funny, but I like their beers. They're making some good stuff. Yes, it's only two right now, and they've got a farmhouse ale coming out soon, and they've got all kinds of seasonals planned, so I'm excited for that. Their bottling line is showing up soon. They've already got a new Bright Tank on order, so there's lots of things going on there. I went to one of the events for Vancouver Craft Beer Week last year. Went to the Rookies and Legends at 12 Kings Pub. There's the two rooms, 12 breweries in each room, 12 new, 12 old. It's quite a cool event. Lots of the Who's Who of Beer in BC was there. And then Friday I head up to the Kootenays, to the East Kootenay Beer Festival, which I'm still really excited for. Lots of breweries from BC, mostly in the Kootenays, a bunch from Alberta. Should be a good time, especially
You're going to that one? That's awesome. I went there a couple of years ago. It's a great event. It's really good. It's just hard to get to. It's so far out.
It's only 10 hours with no traffic.
Exactly. Oh, you're going to have a blast hanging out with the Arrowhead crew and all the new breweries from Rossland what's the other place I'm talking about? Nelson. You know, that's great. Right on.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Just, you know, being up in the mountains there for the festival and then being at the hot springs at night. Can't complain about that.
It's great. It's a great event. Highly recommended.
Yeah, this week is going really slowly already.
Yeah, I'll be out at the Washington Beer Fest on Friday, so that'll be. I showed you the beer list there. That's
Sounds good.
Got any highlights? I've got about No, well, it's this Friday, so it'll be, I'm going to line up at Raven's Brewing, who has their Grandfather Raven Barrel-Aged Imperial Stout out, which is very hard to get.
Nice.
So that'll be our first one, and there'll probably be a lineup for it because it'll go quickly. And then I just have a whole bunch of Imperial Stouts and Saisons I'm going to target. All kinds of crazy stuff there. Lots of barrel stuff, lots of unique, you know, there's a Saison in gin barrels, another one in tequila barrels. And no, it's nice to see them branch out and do other things other than bourbon barrel.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Sounds good.
Probably because the bourbon barrels are getting expensive.
Yeah, and everyone wants them. Hard
to come by. Yeah.
All right. I guess it's every event and brewery you've been to lately, isn't it? All right. Well, why don't we move into our main topic for the day, cellaring beers.
You sure it's not collaring beers?
Yeah, well, that's what you tweeted.
Tweet's been corrected, but oh, anyway.
Perfect. Good, good. I guess why don't we start with what are the best beer styles to cellar? Because there's some serious ones not to cellar, like IPAs.
There are a few, though.
Well, that's true, yes. That is true.
But we'll get into that later.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think the obvious ones are, you know, your Imperial Stouts, your barley wines, you know, anything with a pretty high alcohol level isn't heavily hopped. You know, you do the maltier beers, as I found personally, just basic rule of thumb, you know, those are your safe ones. If you're going to sell or anything, especially if you're just starting, you know, start with those.
And is that because the hops degrade over time?
Yeah. Maybe the hops are just going to go away. They'll lose most of their characteristics, especially a lot of the newer ones. I find like some of the older hops, you know, the ones that have been around for a while, they don't lose their stuff quite as quickly. You know, they don't lose their flavors as quickly, but a lot of the new IPAs, once they lose their hop flavor, they're pretty gross. Like even 3 to 6 months, it can be too long for some of the newer ones. They're really? Pretty delicate. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, my.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or is barley wines. But that's just me.
I'm with
you. I
love
the big complex beers.
Well, apparently Lourdes used to brew those when their sons were born, and then they would serve them to them when they were 18.
Oh, that's cool. I like that. I didn't know that story.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, they've got some lasting power. Like those are the kind of beers that you can keep for easily for 10 years. And even when they do oxidize, you know, you get sherry, you get leather, and most barley wines, that's a good thing to get sherry and leather in them. They taste, I the oldest one I had tasted a lot more like an old sherry. It was fantastic. Nice. I was pretty excited by it. I got one more bottle of it.
Nice.
Yeah.
So when should I come over? Any other styles? Russian Imperial Stouts are great.
I guess some Belgian styles, like the big quads are good, and some of the sour styles are good to age too, like actually, Flanders and brown ales and stuff like that.
That's a really good point, because some of the Belgian styles, some of the lambics are really low alcohol, but they can still cellar for a long time. Some of the bottles stay up to 20 years.
Yeah, I guess because the hops in them, I mean, I remember I went to Cantillon Brewery last year in Brussels when I was there, and they pointed out that the hops they use are already 2 or 3 years old on purpose. They use old hops. They want basically no flavor and no aroma from the hops. They just simply want the preservative quality. Oh, so, you know, like, so that's, you know, they're talking about that's the hop part of it is already old like that anyway. And then they're using these different yeasts and lactic acid and you know, all the different wild yeasts and so on and bacteria that are meant to, at least in the brewing process, are meant to be used over a really long period of time. So I guess they're designed to age, you know. They're usually at least a couple of years old, like the Guz and lambic that they produce in Belgium aren't served until they're at least two or three years old kind of thing.
Well, I mean, most lambics are actually a blend of multiple years of lambic to find the best flavor profile. So they're right, already cellaring them already.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, I bought a Goose Boone, I think it was called, and I haven't opened it yet, but it said enjoy within 30 years. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. That's cool.
I better buy 50.
Kind of want to push it, you know, but anyway. No.
Yeah. Damn.
Exactly.
Yeah, and then the other thing I would just top it up with is, you know, any beer that's naturally carbonated, you know, it's got the yeast on one. Generally, those are going to last a little longer. Because, you know, there's still a live process going on there.
You mean like
bottle not all of them. Beers? Yeah, anything that's bottle conditioned, but not all of it, right? So if it's a wheat beer or a wit beer, I find those you don't want to leave around because they tend to deteriorate. Anything with a heavy wheat base, you generally want to drink pretty fresh. You know, especially American wheat beers and that, you know, I mean, you want to drink them like a fresh hop beer basically as soon as you can. They're generally better. They don't really seem to improve that much.
I guess one way that rule gets broken is with Saison Bretts and any kind of beer that has Brett in it. Mm-hmm. Some Saison Bretts actually last a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess part of that is that the Brett takes a while to do its job. So it's, the, you know, like they put it away for several months before they release it in the first place. And then it's a very, very gradual process of mellowing out the beer, or if that's a good way to describe it. But
yeah, no, for sure.
So, yeah.
And there's a really good article written by one of the guys at Fish Head. And he gives some pretty celery what it comes down to is, you know, beer doesn't necessarily go bad, it just changes. No, I kind of disagree with the going bad part, because I've had some pretty bad beers that, you know, I've changed in the wrong way. But you know, at the end of the day, you know, the beer is just going to change, right? It's not going to kill you, it's not going to hurt you in any situation. It just changes in flavor. And you know, they talk about that, in fact, that it doesn't necessarily spoil, but you know, some of the flavors that you might desire are going to go away and be replaced by other things. So you do have to think about that. Hops generally are going to go away. You know, malty, leathery, you know, sharp alcohol, sherry flavors will eventually develop over a long period of time. And I find most beers kind of have what I you know, kind of have two drinking windows, right? The first one is the flavors will either mellow and blend and get to a point where, you know, they kind of hit that, what I just call the perfect balance. Right? That's usually the first 3 to 4 years of a cellaring beer. And then, you know, depending on the conditions of the cellaring, which we'll get into, you know, as it gets older and older, then you start getting the oxidization effects that are actually positive for the beer. You get your sherries, your leathers, and just some of those other flavors that actually are new that come in there. And again, that could be really, really good depending on the beer, but you know, you wouldn't want an IPA to age that long. I've aged a couple barrel aged ones and, you know, you get the wood flavors in there, which takes over for the hops and it makes a really interesting drink, but I wouldn't want those to be, you know, 5 or 6 or 8 year cellar beers. I don't think they'd be very good, but 3 years, you know, the flavors meld in pretty nicely. So played around with that, you know, sometimes on purpose and sometimes accidentally. You know, nice. You forget about it. And the odd one surprises you, right? So anyway, sorry, we'll keep going here.
No worries. Should we move on then?
Yeah, how about you, Steve? Do you cellar beer?
I have a cabinet where I keep beer until I drink it. I'm not sure you count it as cellaring unless it's the few I've forgotten at the back there.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm not much different than that myself. I have a box, a cardboard box, like one of those beer, you know, like the bomber box that holds 12 bombers. And that's the limit of my cellar at this point. I have a few interesting beers in there. I've got Driftwood Singularity going for 5 years. So that's pretty darn good, I guess. But who knows how well they've been kept, because this is a cardboard box that I keep on the bottom shelf in my back laundry room. It's not exactly climate controlled, but it's relatively cool. It's kind of a breezeway porch type thing. And then I was just looking at it to make sure I knew what I had. So I have a a couple of, I have a bunch of driftwoods, I guess. I have a couple of old cellar dwellers, 2013 and 2014. And then I've got a Driftwood Lustrum, their fifth anniversary sour beer. And I've got a Granville Island barley wine from 2012. That sounds pretty good,
that
one, actually.
That one's good.
That actually is a really good beer, yeah.
That's a good one.
I'm pretty stoked about that. I forgot I had that. And then I've got two bottles of Westy 12 that I picked up as part of that. They sold like a six pack with the two glasses a couple of years ago.
Thanks for reminding me. I actually do have four bottles of that, so I technically have cellared those for a few years.
Exactly. And then I've got this one, which I think I might open. What do you guys think?
Yes, do it.
Driftwood Bird of Prey, Flanders Red. Now? It's from last year. It's more than a year old, so I figure that's a good option to crack open. And replacing it in my cellar, because I only have 12 spots, is I have a bottle from the Moon Brew Pub, their latest, or not their latest sour, because they just released one, but one they had late last year called the Sang du Merle, S-A-N-G, Sang du Merle. It's like a blackberry sour beer, I guess. So I'm going to put that in there for a little while, right? But why don't I crack this one open, and you guys can take over and talk some more.
Sang du Merle. I think that means blood of the raven, if I'm not.
Yeah,
I think my French is a little rusty.
Yeah,
I think you're right.
Might as well. Joe said what he's drinking now. He's pouring it right now. So I'll tell you what I'm drinking. I'm drinking the Brewery Bois. It's a 2013 vintage. It's 2 years old now. It's a really big beer, 15% alcohol, nice and dark, not a lot of carbonation. But it's tasting amazing.
Yeah, those guys, man, they make some big beers.
Yes, they do.
I got one that's 8%, and all the others are like 14, 17, 18. I was looking at it going, that's a big bottle. that's a sharer. Or put it back in the fridge halfway. You know, those will last.
What are you doing, Terry?
I've got a Hamel and Ard from Brewery de Molen. This is a double stout from 2011.
Wow.
Another beauty to cellar.
Yeah, this is delicious. I'm really enjoying it. They say enjoy within 25 years, so good candidate for long-term cellaring.
Where's that brewery from?
Where are they? Netherlands?
I think it's Netherlands, yeah.
Yeah, it's in a windmill. It's pretty cool.
That's got to be Netherlands.
Yeah, the interesting thing is they use the same barley that they use to make, I'm going to mess up the name, it's Brugladek, Scotch.
Oh, so, cool.
Yeah. So I don't know if it obviously imparts its own flavor to it, but this is pretty delicious. I'm, nice. I wouldn't mind picking up a few more of these. Not bad. I paid about $8 a bottle for this, so it's pretty good.
How are you, Steve? Yeah. Might as well finish off here.
Yeah, no, I'm probably the lightest of the bunch. I'm going with the House Sound Super Jupiter IPA.
Okay. Is that the IPA less of a cellar or the new version that's an ISA?
This is the old version. This is the IPA. Oh,
okay. Very tasty.
Okay, so this is one of those ones I forgot about in the back of the cabinet, so it's technically cellared. It's actually stood up quite well. It's not quite so baseball bat to the face bitter and more mellow bitter, actually. Hey, this one turned out pretty well.
Nice accident.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I find out.
Like forgetting that I have four wins of later.
Yeah, I like some IPAs if they're a little harsh on the bitterness. So if you just leave for even 3 months, sometimes it'll mellow out quite nicely.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, well, go ahead.
No, go ahead. That's fine. We don't want to talk about IPAs.
All right, why don't we move on to one of the first big issues with cellaring. It's the temperature you store your beer at.
Yeah. So a couple of things you want to look for. Obviously, you know, something with temperature control is your best option. If you're like most of us, you don't have that, you know, like a wine fridge that you use or anything. That would be the most ideal setting. Or if you have a room that was completely temperature controlled, like some of those wine cellaring folks that are just crazy. But you want some, you want to try and keep it between 50 and 60 degrees. You can deviate out of that a little bit. But if you go too far, like if you get above 70, your beer is going to be in a bit of trouble. Especially your sours, anything with wild yeast in it's going to go a little crazy. And it could turn out for the better, but most cases it's probably going to turn out worse. So if these hot spells, if you've got a cool area in your house, you might want to put an ice pack in there or something just to keep the temperature down.
Yeah.
What I'll do with mine is, because I don't have a, you know, a fridge or anything like that. I just have a cool area. I'll cover it with a blanket. I'll just throw a few ice packs on top just to keep it from getting into that crazy zone on the hot days like it was yesterday here, where it was 31 degrees Celsius. Yeah. The other thing, and this is actually more important, I find, than that temperature range, is you don't want big fluctuations in temperature in short periods of time. You know, you don't, you know, it's one thing to put beer in and out of the fridge a couple of times. That's not as big of a deal, but you don't want it to spike up and down. So if you're not like you don't want to do it in your garage where you're parking a vehicle in there, because a hot vehicle is just going to heat that garage up pretty quickly.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, so you want to avoid big temperature swings, over short periods of time. That's the most important temperature thing for cellaring beer.
Yeah, a lot of people use their closet or something, mm-hmm. because usually it stays out of light and everything, so it can actually stay a better standard temperature through the month. So in the winter it'll be colder, in the summer it'll be hotter, but at least you're keeping it sort of semi-normal.
Yeah, and for most beers, you know, I mean, if you have a little bit more temperature ideal, it just means whatever's going to happen to your beer is probably going to happen a little quicker. So you might not be able to keep a bottle for 10 years. You might only be able to keep it for 5, but at that 5 years, it might actually taste pretty close to what it would taste like after 10 years. So it's not always a bad thing.
No, for sure.
You just don't want it to get into that danger zone where it goes bad. That's risky.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, I've actually went out on Boxing Day 1 year and bought a wine cellar. It was only, I think it holds about 30 bottles. Mm-hmm. And that's a good way to go. Like your best beer, throw in like a wine cellar for a couple $100. And then just your other ones, throw in boxes. I don't know if it would show up. Probably not. I could try to show. There's a picture of my cellar with us.
Looks good.
Beers, and then other ones I throw in boxes. But that's always an option. It doesn't have to be a beer specific thing. If you can find a wine one for cheap, go for that.
Yeah. Boxing Day.
Boxing Day is a great day.
And lately Black Friday.
That works too.
And then I guess the next most important issue to deal with is light exposure, right guys?
Yeah, for sure.
I'm looking at this book, which I have, which is a really useful book. I don't do much cellaring, but if you're interested in learning more, it's called Vintage Beer. And I was part of the
Who's
judging
the
panel
there?
For
Sorry.
The author is Patrick Dawson. I'll hold it up a little longer here. I was part of the judging panel for the North American Guild of Beer Writers and their awards that we did last year. This was the book we picked to win for the best beer book of 2014. And according to this, he says light exposure is the second most important consideration after the temperature, because the UV light from both natural and artificial light will break down the hops and create skunky flavors in beer. So you really want to keep your beer in the dark as much as you possibly can if you're cellaring it. So that's why, you know, those cardboard boxes that I'm using and some of us are using are perfect. They're great. There's no light in there. Just leave them in there. Don't take them out all the time and look at them.
Yeah. Hey, Joe, I'll just say that it's probably
the most beer is. Oh, sorry.
Oh, what's that? Nice. Nothing. Not much in there about cellaring beer, however. Maybe the third edition.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. Or your next book.
Exactly, yeah.
But yeah, the reason beer is in typically in dark brown bottles is that it lets in very little light. That was the whole point.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, those green bottles ago, look so good.
Yeah, the green bottles look so nice, but actually there was a study 3-4 years ago now that compared clear versus green versus brown, and brown won.
Yeah, for sure.
The
Yeah, those light bottles of Corona. If you talk to anyone in the industry, if you leave them out in the sun for even a few hours or in the fridge with the light on.
How do you spoil something tasteless, I would ask?
Well, you add skunk to it.
Right.
One thing that always makes you wonder.
Which is why they ask you to put a lime.
Skunkiness. Delicious.
They ask you to put a lime in it because it masks the skunkiness.
Yeah, no doubt.
It's funny, I drank so much of that crappy skunky beer when I was a teenager that I actually kind of like it.
Well, it's one thing that always has me is,
why are Belgian beers so often in green bottles?
I don't know, eh? They do crazy stuff over there.
Maybe the lambics and the sours mask the skunkiness. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And a little fun fact with lighting, if you use, they give out the least amount of UV out of any bulb. So if you're doing lighting, well, might as well do LEDs there.
Oh, awesome. And I can use my LEDs that are in my beer cellar. Once in a while.
Yeah.
So I guess, yeah, basically, if you're not using a wine cellar, make sure you got your beer inside boxes. Keep as little light as you can getting in there, because your beer will last a lot longer.
Totally.
Okay. One thing, if you... Sorry?
Go ahead.
Steve, did we miss anything?
There was just one note. If you are going to use a wine cellar, it is worth checking to see that it's got... a shock absorber on the motor, because the motor, if it, some of the really cheap wine cellars, I checked yours, Mike, yours is fine.
Yes.
And, and don't have a shock absorber. So the engine or that spins the fan that keeps everything cool, keeps all the air circulating, vibrates the entire unit, which vibrates all of the wine, or in this case, beer in there. And constant vibration is also not very good for beer.
That's true.
So just one of those things to, I like Mike's idea of Boxing Day and grabbing a cheap wine cellar, but give it a quick look over. Just a quick Google will tell you what to look for.
Good point. Never heard of that before.
A lot of people say you should always store your beer upright because there's that little bit of plastic in the cap. And they're worried about that actually getting into the beer and then speeding up the oxidization. And I can see that being an issue, but I also think that any beer that's got a cork and cage should be on its side, because especially with wine, if the cork dries out, more oxygen will get in there and you have a better chance of actually having your beer go bad.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah. If you go to, what is it? Cantillon. There you go. They store all of their bottles like wine. So I haven't been there, but I've seen lots of pictures on that topic, and people always reference that. I'm like, well, if anyone knows about cellaring and aging beer, it's those guys.
Probably them, yeah.
They know what they're doing.
So what about cans? Can you cellar cans?
Yes, for sure.
Because cans are great, right? There's no light in cans, obviously. You don't even worry about putting them in a cardboard box. You can put them on the shelf, for crying out loud. And I'm pretty sure the oxidation levels are usually even lower than cans than they are in bottles. So are they a good – do you guys have any cans in your cellar?
Couple.
I have a couple, yeah, for sure. I've got what is it called now? Oh, Terry, you know, it's the Russian Imperial Stout.
Oh, the Oscar Blues one?
Booze, probably, right?
Yeah,
1050. 1050. That would make sense.
But I'm sure that'll be an amazing seller. And because you don't have to worry about light, it already, or oxidation, you've already got a great start on it. It's got to keep the temperature pretty steady.
Yeah.
Have you guys opened any cans up from your cellar, though? Like, I'm just interested in whether there's a different flavor, like if the metal imparts any flavors over a long period of time.
I haven't noticed it yet. But I haven't done anything more than a year or two old on a can. So I think the last 1050 I had was close to 2 years. So
okay, well.
Truthfully, I don't think it will.
No, I don't think so. But if you trade it for 10 years, it might be a little different, right?
They all have a little plastic liner inside the can, like a tiny, you know, fuel stick or whatever. But I just don't know if that would break down eventually.
You probably won't notice it anyways.
Yeah.
But I don't think it'll be that big of a difference as long as you pour it in a glass. That's the biggest thing. Pour your beer into a bloody glass.
Could you imagine keeping a beer for 10 years and then just swigging straight from the can?
Exactly.
There will be people to do it.
Russian shotgun.
I would smack that person.
Come on, you kind of want to, don't you?
No. Especially because
yeah.
Well,
I was expecting you to say most of these cellared beers are like 15 or 20 bucks, which leads into my point of discussion, I think, at this point, which is the reason why I don't get into cellaring, which is the cost. I find the idea of buying a whole bunch of beer and putting it away in a cellar for months and years on end to be not an option because of the incredible amount of money I would have to spend in order to do that. So I don't know how you guys think about that. Obviously you have considered it because you do it, but for me that's a major issue, so I'll just throw that topic out to discuss here.
Yeah, when I go into some places I'll occasionally utter out words, yeah. And they're like, okay, it'll be $170 or more, right? That's a little rough, you know, in terms of cost. But if you know the beer is that good, yeah, then I don't mind doing it. Well, I won't do it for a gazillion amounts of beer, but you know, I've got 10 to 12 cases of certain ones that I just did that. I'll just take a case. Just kidding, I'll give you the box. Don't even open it. I'll trust that it's in there.
I wish I had that kind of money to throw. No, just kidding. I've never bought a case of beer, but I've gotten beer that are about the same price. It's, you know, 28% alcohol, non-carbonated.
I want to see you chug that.
I would probably cry.
You might die.
Oh, come on now.
It's like a bottle of scotch.
It is. Price.
Kind of what it tasted like.
But tastier.
And then how do you guys manage how do you guys, go ahead, Steve.
I was going to say, for me, I'd actually like to get into cellaring more. It's for me, it's more a matter of finding a beer that I really want to spend both the time and the money on. And I mean, better. And then I got to take up the space. I got to actually wait for the beer or its sunk cost that I don't get to use right away. But at the same time, I'd be really curious to get a case. I'm seriously considering the Moody Ales bourbon barrel aged imperial stout for this, if I can find enough of it.
One. Yeah, good luck on that. They're almost sold out.
Bottle Jockey. Go to Bottle Jockey. I think they have enough. That's a good one because they're smaller bottles, and that case will run you about 100-ish, 120, give or take after tax. That's not bad.
Yeah, and so I got a storage unit downstairs that's all cement under, so it's got a reasonable temperature. So thinking maybe that might be my entry point because a lot of money and a lot of space. But I'm just curious to see what happens. I want to try it. That it's curiosity is tipping me over.
Not a bad idea.
Well, that sounds like a good way to start with a beer like that. Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, I bought a case of that one when it came up.
I bought four
were for someone else, and the other thing I'm finding too now is having some of these beers. It does make for some fun trades, you know. People you know who have other stuff, you say, "Oh, I got one of these," and they just their eyes light up, right? So it's good for that too. You know, you might not end up drinking at all, but it might be a way for you to get some stuff you just never had before. So that's nice too. Like that gigantic and parallel 49. That was awesome.
Yeah, thanks for the trade for that one, by the way.
Yeah, sitting on that one for 2 years was one of the best things I ever did in terms of waiting for that one. Because I did have it fresh, and it was quite good. But, man, when it 2 years later, it was fantastic.
Yeah.
And that's actually one – I didn't really talk about that one. But, you know, when it comes to cellaring beer, it's kind of like – in a lot of ways, like wine. Like, if you don't cellar a pop and pour for wine, right? You cellar a beer that – generally is made to be aged a little longer. And some of these beers, this year's version of Singularity is pretty nice. I don't think much is going to happen to it in the next 3 to 4 years. It gets into that secondary drinking window where you get new flavors, because it's already pretty damn mellow. Flavor in there. I don't know that you're going to get much more happening to it for 4 to 5 years, I would say. The previous year's version, though, was very hot. And that's a great cellar candidate, because it's gonna tone down a little bit. It's gonna mellow a tiny bit. Those flavors are gonna blend into new flavors. So you're gonna get two drinking windows out of that one. So sometimes I like to buy one, try it, and that'll really help me make my decision of, okay, this is a good cellar candidate, or yeah, this one's really good right now.
Yeah,
you know, sure. If I want more, I'll buy a couple more and drink them. Otherwise, there's really no point in cellaring it, because not much is gonna happen to it. So that's just something to consider as well.
I guess one thing
with wine.
And over time, that alcohol hit will actually tone down.
Yeah.
And that's what we're hitting on that. I guess I just thought of something here. One thing we should mention here is a great thing to do with your cellar is to do a vertical.
Mm-hmm.
To have more than 1 year of each beer. So try to save one from each year for, say, 5 years, and then try them side by side, probably with a bunch of friends, and see how things change.
And maybe some cheese.
Yes.
Cheese is always good.
Yeah, actually, that would be a fun one. I'm working on I've got one more year to get my Stone Double Arrogant Pass. And I would love to get, I should get 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 year aged cheddar. And that would, that would actually be pretty cool.
That's a great idea. I like that.
I mean, I was excited enough for my Woolly Bugger 5 year vertical, but that's going to be really cool.
Yeah, well, let me know if you want in on that one.
Yes, please.
So, I mean, this is great. Like doing the, you know, talking about the verticals and talking about getting a bunch of people together to enjoy them. But obviously with bigger cellars, you've got a lot of beer in there. And like, how do you kind of manage, you know, when you're going to try something and when you're going to, you know, like, do you just kind of willy nilly, like the way I do it is I look in my box every once in a while and I'm like, oh, cool, I'll try that.
Right now I'm, like I said, I'm not big into this deliberate cellaring, I think just the occasional accidental cellar. I am actually trying to cellar some wine right now. Last year I was out in Skaha, and then we went up the Naramata Bench and picked up a whole caseload of wine. And what I did was actually just wrote a label on it: "Do not open until 2016." And that was... that's probably going to be my strategy if I manage to get that case of the Moody Ales. I'll put year late, do like 2015, 2016, 2017, 2018.
Sure. I use a website called cellarhq.com. I know there's another big one out there, beerseller.me. They're great websites. They give you options to put in the beer you're cellaring, the name of the brewery, what style it is, the size of beer, how many bottles you've got, the bottle date, the date you bought it, the date you want to drink it, if you have different boxes you're cellaring them in, different cellars, different chilled cellars. You can name them all so you can keep track of where they are, what they are and how many you have. Keep track of ones you have for trade. Like my bois that I'm drinking right now, I said I want to drink it on the 2-year anniversary. It popped up saying it was time to drink it, and I popped it open for this.
Nice.
Yeah, I use the beercellar.me one, and it's nice because it's I can access it on my mobile pretty easily because it's just a website that I log into. So if I'm shopping, I can check to see if I already have that, or if I'm trying to fill in verticals, you know, I can look and see if I have that vintage. So I use that a lot more now than I ever did because I found it was getting to be a little bit unmanageable with the size and just trying to sort through the vintages. Your memory starts to go pretty quickly. So yeah, I have that, and then managing it. I'm not too strict on when I drink what. I put a lot away, and then I just dig in there whenever I feel like, you know, digging into a cellar beer. And lately, I have been buying a lot less because I was building my cellar, and it's full. So I need to start, you know, enjoying the prospects. And I found it's hard because it's made me a little snootier when it comes to some of the newer releases. And I look at it and go, oh, a Kolsch. I've got a 2-year-old barley wine over there. I can just pop open instead of buying that. So I don't get nearly as excited for a lot of new releases anymore just because I have stuff to pull from that I know is likely going to be better. So I'm a lot more selective now when I went ago.
Yeah.
So, which is fine. Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably good, right? I don't want to keep buying here.
Yeah.
Then my stuff will go bad. I don't want to do that.
Well, if you want to share some of your beer, I do have a Storm Brewing 18-year-old Lambic hiding right now in my cellar.
I thought you weren't going to mention it.
I wasn't. Whatever.
Hey, Terry, what about these beers behind you? Some of them obviously don't have caps, but some of them do. So what are those ones? Are they just, is that part of your cellar?
Yeah, this is just, I pulled these out for the, I just got these on a trip to California. And these I'm saving, I'm going to make glasses out of them. I've got one of those glass cutters. So these are all the screen bottles, which is a Christmas time purchase. That was a fun one. And then I've got other stuff over that way that, you know, my cellar area, which keeps a pretty constant temperature, which is nice. And I used to, when I homebrew, I'll put my beer over there too, because it generally, you know, the summer it gets a little warm, so I try to keep it a little cooler. But through the winter, it's really good for homebrew. It's the right fermentation temperature.
You homebrew and you cellar? I don't know, like, how you could drink all that beer.
I haven't homebrewed that much lately. It's just, it's been, you know, I did it more just to kind of learn about the process. I do really, really small batches, like 1 or 2 gallons. So
Because that's pretty well why I got out of home brewing was that I couldn't, like, it's just too much beer to drink. And I wanted I always wanted to drink new stuff, and I didn't want to drink 5 gallons of one batch of, you know, mediocre beer that I made. So every once in a while it was really good, but that was just like random, you know, like why was that good and that the other one wasn't. So
a wonderful accident.
Exactly. And I accidentally cellared some of my homebrew at times too, which was interesting because then discovered a couple of bottles. What's that bottle? Oh, that's from last year. That's from 2 years ago. What does that taste like? Yeah. And actually, surprisingly, it was actually usually quite good, which is interesting, but yeah.
Mike, remember the wine shine? my opa used to make wine, and he forgot about some for many years, and it was still actively fermenting.
Oh, nice.
Yes, I remember going camping with that wine shine, and
you remember that?
Got a little inebriated. We also tried to burn it to see what happened, and it burned clear, which to me says that it's upwards of 80% alcohol, probably.
But it's fermented? How can it hit that? That's amazing.
I have no idea how it did that.
I have to ask Zopa, but can't now. It was crazy. Even the wildlife, the bees that tried to drink it, were hammered and hit a tree and never got back up.
Wow.
Yeah, it was.
Your opa's like some brewing guru.
Apparently. If only he did beer.
Yeah, exactly.
There was lots of lost memories on that trip.
I'm surprised you remember any of it.
I remember most.
So I got to say, I love it. The Cellaring Beer podcast is the one where we all get kind of a little inebriated.
Well, you got to cellar the good stuff, right?
Exactly. We're all consuming the strong beer while we're talking here.
Yeah, I mean, what would a beer podcast be without beer?
Maybe it'll be the never-ending podcast.
True.
Yeah, we should wrap it up here. Just to let everyone know Mike tried to join us, but he had some technical problems, so we missed him this time. But
yeah, his modem and his TV died.
Poor guy.
And sadly,
all right. I think that's Mike or Steve.
What's that, Steve?
Yeah. Sadly, I won't be here for the next one. I think almost exactly when you guys are planning to do the next one, if it's around the same 2-week window, I'll be drinking beer in Sapporo. I'll send you a video to include.
Nice.
Yeah. Nice.
Make sure to drink Baird beer.
Drink what?
Baird beer. They're a brewery in Japan. They're really good.
Okay, I'll have to find out where they are.
No idea.
I'm sure I can find it. We're traveling a lot of the country.
The brewer from Duty CL moved there.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Really?
For a small brewery.
That's interesting.
Check it out. Find out wherever he's working.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right. Well, I guess that's everything for Cellaring Beer, isn't it?